Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we are studying lesson number 3, which is the letter C, the church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We know that he wasn't talking about Peter's church, because the gates of hell could prevail against Peter's church, couldn't it? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's church, in which he is the rock. He is the rock of the church. A firstborn of all the saved and all the beloved. We are part of the family of God. We're born again, and we don't have to worry about our salvation. We are sealed until the day of redemption. Aren't you glad of that? You know, since we talked last on that last recording until this recording right now, the Lord has not, nothing has changed about my salvation except that God the Holy Ghost has been trying to teach me and conform me into the image of Jesus Christ, my Savior. The same thing that he is doing to you and has been doing to you since the last recording. But as far as our status, we are as good as being in heaven with the Lord already. We are part of his flesh and bone. We are part of his body, and we are just as good as in heaven with him right now. So be assured of that. Don't let anybody take that from you, and don't let anybody take the written word of God, the documents that the Lord has given you, to assure you and to reassure you that you can be persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. When that day comes and you draw that last breath, you ain't going to have to worry about it, because you are persuaded that he's able to keep and will keep his word with you. And when you depart from that body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says, "Precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints." So be encouraged, brothers and sisters. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. And he is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Talking about the church, this will be our last recording, our last lesson in the subject of the church that we've been studying. And just to recap just a little bit, I'd like to just recap a little bit with you. We're talking about the church, and we tried to define at the beginning. We let the scriptures do the defining. Sola scriptura. And if I'm not saying that right, y'all forgive me, but the scriptures alone. We don't need any other books or Greek or Hebrew to define English and the meaning of what God wants us to understand in the English language. We have a written Bible that we've already been through and studied, and we know that the Lord gave it to us and that the Lord approved of it. He approved of copies, and we have a copy of his inspired word that we can sit down and read and be assured of that we know the truth. So we've just been studying the Bible. I haven't given you what I think. When I refer to what I think, that's what I say. Now, I think, okay, but everything that we've been talking about on these recordings, I've given you scripture. I've given you scripture. Go look it up. Look it up. It's very not important to me. It ain't gonna make no difference to me. I care about you, and I love you with Christ's love, and I want you to be all right like the Lord does. But the only thing that makes us all right is an assured and have assurance that we know the truth is the Word of God. Everything having to do with eternity and staking your soul has to do with that written document that God has given you, that Bible. So I give you the scriptures. You get in there and look them up on purpose, and you see that they say what we've been talking about indeed. And if you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of me. I've given you my email. It's ilovewmr4ever@gmail.com. And you just email me and tell me what you think. Tell me, correct me if I've said something wrong. I want the truth. And if I say something wrong, you know I already correct myself. I have in every one of them just about. I made a mistake probably out of 20 lessons that we've done, 19 of them I've had to redo myself, hadn't I? So it ain't no secret that I make mistakes. But we're after the truth. The church, we talked about what the church was. We talked about who the church was. We talked about what that the body of Christ, and that we are the body of Christ. The Bible says ye are the body of Christ. We talked about that the church is a New Testament institution. It is not an Old Testament institution. It's a New Testament institution. We talked about the church being an assembly, which it is. It is a local assembly called out for a specific purpose, remember? We talked about there being facts about assemblies when we talk about assemblies, and there are all kinds of assemblies. There's firemen assemblies, there's athletic assemblies, there's all kinds of assemblies, but we're talking about the Lord's assembly. The Lord said, and upon this rock I will build my church. The Lord has a specific assembly, and that is the Lord's assembly. But an assembly must be local. An assembly must be visible. An assembly must be organized, and an assembly must be constituted, made up of the right things. And we also seen that the New Testament church has a head. And we seen in the scriptures that the head of all New Testament local churches and local assemblies is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the head of the body. And we are the body of Christ, remember? And you say, why do you keep saying remember? Because I want to know if you remember. And I know you remember because you're probably saying, yeah, just move on with you already. Okay. All right. Now, we talked about the local church has officers. Do you remember what they are? What are they? They're the bishops and the deacons, right? The bishop and the deacons. Which also you would be scriptural to call, and there are words in that the Lord has chosen to put in his word that is called the bishop, the elder, and the pastor. Those are scriptural words that we scripturally can use, and we refer to our the under shepherds or the under shepherds of our church, local churches, the pastors. We refer to them as pastors, but if you called them elders or called them bishops, you would be absolutely correct. But we have to be careful because there are some falsehoods out there, false things out there that are teaching and using some of those words, and they do not mean what the scriptures mean. So we have to be careful because we have little ears listening to us too when we speak of spiritual matters, and we have to be concerned. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have to be very careful about our testimonies and the words that we choose to use. Not only for ourselves and our own testimony and our own integrity and our own walk, but for the glory of God and for everybody else that's listening to us. We talked about our pastor, the pastor of local assemblies. We talked about who is the chief pastor of our church and of every of our, not only our church, your church, my church, but everybody's local church throughout around the earth. And the chief pastor is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. The word pastor means shepherd. Now, what's the Bible call the church in relation to its pastor? It calls the church the flock, right? The flock. We are the flock. And when the whole assembly that comes together in that local place that they meet in, whether it be a house, whether it be a building, whether it be a barn, whether it be wherever, the assembly, the ecclesia, the gathering together, the church, coming together for a specific purpose. And what's the specific purpose? To study the Word of God and to give glory to our Lord and to fellowship with one another and encourage one another. And until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Now, in 1 Peter 5:2, what's the duty of the pastor? Remember what that was? The duty of the pastor was to watch out for the wolves, right? Because there will be some that come in among the assembly, and there will be also some that rise up among the assembly, among us, that will try to get people to follow them and will try to deceive the body, deceive the church, and deceive and speak in, the Bible said, speak in, speaking blasphemous things, I think is what it says. I'll look that up and find out and tell you. But let's see here. It said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. What is the duty of the pastor? Is to feed the flock. Feed the flock of God. Well, feed them with what? Feed them with the food. Feed them with the light. Feed them with the water. Feed them with the bread. Feed them with the Word of God. The Word of God. Feed them spiritually. Because it's a spiritual gathering. It's a spiritual body. And we are, our flesh is the literal part of it. But our you back behind them eyes, you being in there, your soul, your spirit. The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Why has the Lord given our church a pastor? So that we can grow. So that we can become a perfect man and be conformed into the image of Christ and not be children, spiritual children that are, nothing wrong with spiritual children as long as you're supposed to be a child. But if you're supposed to have already been growing in the Lord and you're not out there messing around in the world and messing around with the world stuff and the devil stuff and the flesh and messing around with all that stuff where you can't grow, and I know that in me that is in my flesh is no good thing. It can't profit. And the spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and these are contrary one to another. You can't grow spiritually in the fleshly things. You can't do it. It's impossible. So it can't be the flesh. It can't be the world. The world's never offered anything spiritual in way of the living God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not going to. They don't want to. And the devil sure ain't. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of all righteousness. He's our enemy. He's our enemy. Now the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, how's our pastor protect us? According to Acts chapter 20, the Bible says, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church and said, take heed unto yourselves to all the flock of God, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You say, oh, not in my church. Oh, yes, mister, in your church. In your church. Grievous wolves will come in there, and they will not care one thing for the flock, the people. The saved. They're coming in there to get people to write to, and it says also of your own selves, people sitting in there in the pews among you, will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears, telling you these things are going to happen, and you need to be on guard and you need to be watching. Some of you churches sit there, and half of you men in there, and some of you women, y'all got guns in your pockets. And you're licensed to carry a weapon. And you carry one because you hear on the news about men and women literally coming in, or people coming literally in the church and shooting it up. And you believe that. Well, your Bible has told you that there's people that are going to among you, and people that will come in there among you and will tear that church all to pieces as a grievous wolf would tear up a lamb flock. And we're to be watching. You need to take it seriously. But the pastor is the one that mostly watches for that stuff. And when he's looking out over that congregation, he sees all them lovely flock, the Lord's flock out there, and sees all the lambs and what their needs are, and he's taking that to heart and everything else. He's also should have one eye going over that crowd looking for something that looks like a wolf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you address your pastor? You address him with respect, and you address him with honor. We should not, ain't nobody going to come up to you and say, don't say that, I guess. But if you called one of them Reverend, they do that up north quite a bit. And I don't know about so much down here in the south, but I've been to a lot of churches in the north where they call them Reverend. And don't mean anything by it. They mean it by respect because they don't know what the scriptures say concerning Reverend is his name, talking about the Lord. But in the matter of teaching what we should call or address the pastor, it's unwise to refer to your pastor as Reverend if he doesn't stop you. According to the Word of God in Psalm chapter 111 and verse 9, it says, He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. We can't compare our name or our title to the Lord's name and his title. but if it is, don't make a big deal about it. Just concerning what your conscience says and what the Holy Ghost teaches you. But the Bible does say that holy and reverend is the Lord's name. So we should be very careful about saying that. I mean, what's wrong with pastor? Nothing. It's scriptural. It's Bible. What's wrong with that? I mean, even bishop, even elder, definitely not reverend, if you can help it. All right, now, Father, the Bible commands us in Matthew chapter 23, and says, Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Okay? So the Lord's adamant about that. He don't want you calling nobody father, especially somebody that wears a half a grapefruit on their head and sits in a little box and wants you to come in there and tell them all the bad things that you've done. Don't do that. All right? Now, and then charge you. Okay? Something about that. The Bible says the gospel ought to be free. Ought to be free. Of no charge. Then the local church makes decisions. We talked about that, remember? The local church talking about church congregational government, remember? We talked about how they chose out the deacons. They chose out the deacons. The apostles needed more time in the Word of God to study the Word of God and to pray. And that's what the pastor's business is for reading, exhortation, and doctrine, to be in that Bible, and so they can feed the flock. So they can watch out, so they can know the mind of God and lead that flock properly for the Lord. And the whole church, the apostle said, y'all seek out and pick 7 men. So the church is the one that voted on that, and they picked them by name, and they picked the fellows that was already in the church. And they were full of the Holy Ghost, and they were already serving the Lord. But they made an office of the deacons. And that's when it started. And they done it by church congregational election. Okay? And we've seen another place there where they needed to replace Judas Iscariot among the apostles and pick a place for him. Remember, Peter stood up and read that scripture in the Old Testament about his bishopric and let another take his bishopric. So it was scriptural for them to pick somebody else and prophecy that they were supposed to pick somebody else. So they picked out 2 people and then they voted on it. And Matthias came up as the one that took the place, remember? A local church is an independent institution. Independent institution. It's separate from all other churches. Even though we are one body, we're different locations and we're different assemblies, and one assembly does not control another assembly. They're independent. Okay? They each have their pastor, they each have their deacons, they each have their flock. All right? But they're all under one head, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Bible. All right. Now, each one's independent. Each one, we also found out, it should be separate from governments. And each one, we also seen, can cooperate with other churches. Can cooperate with other churches when it comes to supporting missionaries or comes to social relief or churches would get together, to relieve another poor church or to help with something. I don't know what, but anything that we're supposed to help with, that we should help with. All right. And the local church is a commissioned organization. It's not just something that's here, something we read about and something that just exists and has no mission. We do have a mission. It's called the Great Commission. And that's to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Or to teach. We're to get people saved, we're to baptize them, and we're to teach them the Word of God and what the will of God is, and live it in front of them. And the church, the Lord added unto the church as many as should be saved daily. Okay? And then we've seen that the Bible says to go ye and teach all nations, and baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, the local church has ordinances. We went over that, but we're going to go over, we mentioned that, but we're going to go over them in different studies. Immersion, which is baptism. We'll discuss baptism, scriptural baptism, and what baptism is, okay, and what it stands for, and whether it's supernatural or not, or whether it's what's spiritual about it, what's the history of it, just all kinds of things. In study number 9, the letter I, immersion. Then the Lord's Supper. These are the two ordinances of the church, orders that the Lord left for the church to adhere to and to acknowledge. The Lord's Supper. Called communion or called the Lord's table scripturally. All right. We'll study that in number 12, which is the letter L. And then we will also study finance of the church. We'll study that in study number 20, which is the letter T, tithing. And to finish out this study, we said we was going to talk about the local church and you. The local church. Now, having learned these many things about the New Testament church, how should it all be applied? And we got a couple things. I got about 3 things here that we can do to make the church a blessing to you and also a blessing to others, which is the whole purpose of it. The first thing is join the church. Find you a good church that preaches the Bible and believes the Bible, and it ain't just a bunch of fakes in there that are putting on a theatrical show, and you don't walk out of there with anything from the Word of God. When you go to church, you ought to leave there. You ought to leave there having been fed from the Word of God. When you go to church, you ought to feel your spirit ought to bear witness with everybody else's spirit in there that you are the sons of God. When you go to church, you ought to be able to feel of it as family, as your eternal family, even more than your blood family here. You should join it. It is God's will for every born-again believer to be a member of a sound, Bible-believing New Testament local church. The Bible tells us to forsake not the gathering together of the saints as the matter of some is. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We need each other. But unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that are staying home and studying their Bibles at home and not having anything to do with some of these churches that are going on, because we're in the Laodicean era and the churches are going apostate. And we're not talking about people that are unsaved and outside of the body of Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ is apostatizing. It's leaving the truth. and they're not preaching the truth like they ought to. They're not telling you what's good. They're not telling you what's bad. It's just love, 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 and nothing negative. The Bible is 70 to 80% negative. It tells you what to do by telling you what not to do. It preaches conviction. The Lord said that there should be conviction. There should be sorrow. There should be repentance. It says, confess your faults one to another. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You find you a good church that gives you an opportunity to go to that altar and tell God you're sorry about what you did last week, or tell God you're sorry about what you thought last week. And you find you a church where a pastor is uncompromising. He's standing in that pulpit and he preaches what God tells him to preach, no matter what you think. Because it's most of the time, the things that fix us are the things that we don't want to hear. But we have to hear anyway because there's a good pastor up there preaching the unchanging Word of God. And that's what's special about a good church, because you can, even in some of your worst moments, you can go to church and you can sit there and the Lord will put something in that pastor's heart and he'll say it and not have any idea that you need it, and it'll fix your problem. That's right. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. You have been selected and placed in the body of Christ particular. You are chosen and you are in there as a particular member. You might be a finger or a fingernail. You might be the heart. I don't know. But whatever you are, you've chosen in there and you're put in there by the Lord. So be part of the body of Christ. Join it. Okay? The Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. The second thing is to love the church. Love it. Not love it with the world's love. The world's love is a fake, lovey-dovey, as long as you're pleasing me and I get what I want, then we'll call it love, and we'll love, 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 love. That's not Christ's love. Christ's love is sacrificial love. Christ showed His love to us and proved His love for us by the things that He suffered and the things that He suffered. He showed His love to us and proved His love to us by the things that He suffered and sacrificed. Christ's love is a sacrificial love. It's giving. It's giving. Remember, the Lord says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Do you know that that's true? That is true. Try it sometime. You get used to loving and giving, man, you're going to be one blessed person. And besides that, there's people that need to see you. There's people to need to see that you're sacrificing and you're going out of your way. They have to get up on Sunday and fix the kids, fix breakfast, get all this together, get everything together and go to church. And I'm feeling like I'm the worst sinner in the world and I'm feeling all negative and the devil's attacking me and blah, 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 blah. But you go anyway. You go because you honor the Lord and you honor His Word. And when them other people see you coming in there regularly and they see your faithfulness and everything else, they're going to be encouraged and they're going to do it too. And they're going to say, if they can do it, I can do it. And we all love the Lord and we love Him sincerely and we love Him on purpose and we love Him and we obey Him because we love Him. You love it. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Sometimes a love for a wife and a love for a husband in a marriage, it's sacrificial, ain't it? You ain't getting nothing out of it. Seems like all you're doing is giving. And it's sacrificial. But it's a love that's necessary, a sacrificial love, a sacrificing love, so that all the flowers and the hearts and everything's flying over both of you's head at the beginning. And all that infatuation and everything, all that kind of stuff just goes to rest after a while, and it turns into a kind of love where you got to work to prove that I'm in this for the long run. Right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church How did he show his love for the church? And gave himself for it. The idea of going to church is to give yourself. Not to go there to take, even though you do take and you do receive. But the idea of going to church is to give. And I ain't talking about just money. I'm talking about of yourself. And there are parts of you that other people need to see. And you are part of the body. And if the toe hurts, every part of the body knows that toe hurts, doesn't it? And if there's encouragement and part of the body feels extremely well and extremely good, the whole entire part of the body knows it, doesn't it? It sure does. And it's influenced in that way. Love the church. Not only join it, but love it. And then one other thing is support it. Support it. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Your church is a place where you'll grow, and you'll find comfort, and you'll find fellowship. And that's what everybody's looking for anyway, isn't it? And the Lord has provided it for us. And He's provided it for us in sincerity and purity and truth. And where you can go there and you ain't got to worry about somebody always looking to want something from you or something like that. I mean, you can go there and smile, genuinely smile. You can go there and all of you there for the same reasons. All of you have the same God. All of you worshiping the same God have the same hope and the same promises. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So plan now to attend it. And make your plans and attend church and be in as many services and meetings of your church as you can. Decide in your heart that this is something that you're going to be devoted to, or excuse me, this is someone that you're going to be devoted to. And your allegiance is to the Lord. That's what this life is all about, folks. This life ain't got nothing to do with this world and the things that you see on them billboards and all them for sale signs and that one-eyed monster you watch all night. It ain't got nothing to do with any of that. All is fake. It's deceit. It's lies. It's thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Excuse me. There's deceit all around us. Everywhere you look. You turn right, you see deceit. You turn left, you see deceit. The only truth that we have that's reliable and that we should extend our allegiance and our devotion to is the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that by obeying Him and being around the things that He says we ought to be around and being away from the things that we ought to be away from. You say, well, I ain't going to church because they're hypocrites. Well, they are. They are hypocrites. You're right. And there's a lot of hurt people that are not going to church because of the way of church treated them and the way that things like that happen. But you have to get through that. You have to get over that and get by that. And if you can find you a good church with a good Bible-believing pastor that's preaching the Word of God, and he's feeding you, and you know you're being fed from the Word of God, and the people in there seem to be sincere, and they love and honor the Word of God and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no fake stuff going on and theater going on, then you've got the best that you can get, probably. And it gets better. But the idea is the truth and sincerity. If you can find those things in there, and that'd be a good church to be part of. But there's a lot of fake ones. There's a lot of false ones. And you don't need to be collecting any false teachings in your mind and in your heart. And you don't need to be having to do with that stuff. That's true and absolutely true. The Lord said for us to remove ourselves from the presence. Remove yourself from the presence of them. I blew that one all to pieces. I'll tell that to you some other time. But He told us to get away from the people that's talking bad stuff and talking false stuff because it ain't no good for us and He don't want it in our minds and in our hearts. Okay? So, the church. Now, 1 Timothy is a good chapter for you to read. Go read 1 Timothy 3. Put that down on your list as the last verse of this study. Let me give you the verses. The first one is Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead and read 1 Timothy chapter 3. I don't think I have time to read it to you on this recording. And next recording, we're going to go into something that's in the letter D. And it's called Daily Walk. Our Daily Walk. Talking about a Christian's walk and the requirements of walking a good daily walk. The Bible said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And how we walk with the Lord daily. We're going to talk about our first love with the Lord. We're going to talk about requirements of a good daily walk. We're going to talk about when should I walk with the Lord. We're going to talk about how should I walk with God. Some rules for Bible study. And some teaching on prayer. All these things have to do with daily walk, how we serve God daily. From the time we get up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night, we have to have ways of serving the Lord, and we have to understand how to serve the Lord. And that's what this study is about, breaking down our daily walk. Not just that we belong to God and that we're going to heaven, but that we have to live here until our time expires and the Lord says, okay, come on home. We have to live day by day. And we need to serve the Lord, and we need to know how to do that. So our daily walk is going to be the letter D, and that's going to be study number 4. Let me read this to you, and I'm going to stop. I think I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be, a church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deke, and none is proud and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind and all to others, faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still, we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. That's what the Lord wants. Sincerity and truth and honoring the Lord and honor His word, and the Lord will take care of everything else. Amen. All right, well, it's been good. And the church, we've studied the church, and I hope that you've enjoyed it, and it's been a blessing to you. And you should go back over those scriptures and read God's word and solidify the study and the things that the Holy Ghost has taught you. And get that scripture in your head and get it in your mind and in your heart, okay? And thank you for listening. And as always, the Lord bless you for honoring Him and honoring His word. Until our next recording, bye-bye.